Welcome back to Pinder and Steinberg. Let's head right down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline on this long weekend Friday in Alberta to say hello to our friend J.D. Bunkus of our sister station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. J.D., is it a long weekend out there? What's going on?
Yeah, family day on Monday. Is that what you guys call it?
Yeah, we got families out here too. We're excited about it. Very good. And you're taking a call at like 5 Eastern on a long weekend. You're way too good to us, man.
Well, there's two things here. One is that I'm not taking the Monday on the long weekend. I'm doing the show solo on Monday. I figured, it is family day after all, and so make sure that the people who actually have family in the city can spend it with their families. I would have just been basically wasting away on the couch with a pizza watching sports. So I figure I could work that. And yeah, it's Friday of a Valentine's Day, so of course, I'm just going to take a phone call and do some distraction.
Well, it's love. That's what it is. You just love coming on with us, and appreciate
exactly.
that. What are you expecting the league to do with, Mensa candidate and future scripture code writer Zach Cassian?
So I'm on in Calgary. So I'm guessing that everyone there feels like Cassian is the biggest public offender who's ever lived.
No, just something really dumb that you can't really even make an excuse for, no matter what.
I'm just saying that I saw a lot of Calgary Twitter that was like, hey, Tkachuk shouldn't have fought. I'm glad that Cassian got the suspension in the first place for the first incident, right?
Okay.
So I've seen this incident compared to Chris Simon, which...
That was vicious.
Yeah, that one was so much worse. And Chris Simon was also coming off the suspension, but his was for trying to take Ryan Holwig's face off with a stick, whereas Cassian's suspension was, I don't think it should have even been one when he grabbed Tkachuk and decided to try to dumb him. I just thought, hey, this is kind of fun, and this is making this rivalry even better. I think last time we were on, we were talking about how fun the Battle of Alberta is. Do I think that Zach Cassian was extremely stupid in that situation? Of course. Do I think that there's some false equivalencies going on, by myself included, when it comes to like what Chara should have gotten versus what Cassian might get? Yes. Do I think that the league needs to set a precedent because they can never, ever, ever have guys elevating their skates in a kicking motion? Of course, of course, of course. But, and I say this but, I wasn't that bothered by it. Like, I know it should be a suspension. I don't think it's a good action, but there's a reason that we have attempted murder versus murder. And the idea that, like, Cassian, who basically grazed Cernik in the chest with the skate, the Lightning bench didn't even think about it. No one even really mentioned it until after the game, once everything was said and done. I think that kind of tells you, like, how that was received during the game itself and, like, what this actually was. So it could have been an extremely dangerous play. The league needs to handle it accordingly. They need to, again, set the precedent. I think Cassian is a dummy who lost his head in a stupid moment. I don't view it the way that I think most people do, which is that this is the most egregious thing that's ever happened in NHL history. I think it's a bad moment. I think it's a bad play, and I think that Cassian should get 5 to 6 games.
So I guess, yeah, no one's here suggesting this is the worst thing that's happened in the league. But I would say you've got repeat offender status in the last month. Whether you agree with the last suspension or not, that's a factor. That goes into their equation. And you can't, as you said, allow any sort of precedent. Well, you know, you can kick at a guy as long as it's on a pad. That's not the case. You cannot do that, period, stop, ever. Right. So I'm saying you still think 5 or 6 is, when you factor in repeat offender and setting precedent, that's the number that gets the message sent?
Here's what I would say. When we're doing punishment for people, and this goes across the board, this is hockey, this is like actual in society, what is the goal of the punishment? What is the goal of the precedent? I don't think that there's any player out there that's ever going to think that, oh, I can kick somebody, or I can do a stomp, or I can do these things. These are things that happen in like truly the heat of a moment where your brain is just on complete autopilot. Like I don't think that you ever kick a guy with conscious thought. I don't think it's something that you can legislate out of the game by saying, let's say they give Zach Cassian where they're like, all right, you know what? You're suspended for the rest of the year. this is still going to happen again sometime. Like, because these things don't happen with a conscious, level-thinking brain. Like, this happens when you're losing your crap and you're just, you're on autopilot. So I just don't see the, like, setting of the precedent is actually, like, waking up players around the league. Like, oh, we can't kick guys with our skates. Like, no duh. What I do think matters here is that, hey, you know what? He could have really hurt him. He could have really done damage. He could have used a weapon on the bottom of his foot that could have caused real significant damage, and that has to go into account. But let's stop pretending as a collective that that's what actually happened. Like, let's stop pretending like there isn't a difference between when a guy sticks a knee out and misses somebody versus when a guy sticks a knee out and actually connects. Like, this stuff matters here. So I just...
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Maybe I'm pushing back a little bit because I'm just so tired of outrage culture in general, where, like, everyone basically is lining up to try and be like, I'm the most upset. I think it's unacceptable that someone kicks someone with a skate. I agree. Like, who doesn't agree with that? I'm just saying that he didn't actually connect. I think that if you ask most of the players on that bench, like, nobody really noticed it in the moment. I don't think that you're legislating out kicking with the skate by giving him a more severe punishment. I think that if we're comparing, like, repeat offender to a guy, like, who actually, let's say, is a, like, but we're not talking about Rafi Torres here. We're not talking about Chris Simon here. We're talking about a guy who got frustrated in a moment and grabbed, I'm sorry, Calgary, he's the best rat in the league, maybe, other than Brad Marchand, but he grabbed a rat who was trying to run him in the head, and he tried to punch him and stick up for himself. And guess what? Tkachuk knew it, too, because that's why he dropped the mitts with him the next game. Mm-hmm. He knew what he did was wrong. So I just don't look at the status of this as the same thing, or like it's in a vacuum, even if it's unpopular. I think that if they were to suspend him over 10 games for this, that it's on Cassian and he just needs to be able to accept it. I'm just saying I would question exactly what the purpose of this is or what the actual effectiveness of the suspension would be.
Yeah, like, let's make things clear. No one is suggesting that this should be the number that it would be if he caught his throat.
Totally.
No one's saying that. I'm expecting somewhere to 5 to 12, depending how much they factor in repeat offender. And you don't get to look back and say, well, we made a mistake on repeat offender. It's either a yes or a no. There's no shade of repeat offender. You are or you aren't by the letter of how they term it.
But I think there should be. I know, but here's the thing is that this is like, okay, again, I don't mean to get like too real life here, but this is the thing about like why we have judges, why we're supposed to have people in these positions. This is why mandatory minimum sentences are stupid. It's like you're supposed to have people in these positions that are able to look at the context of something and say, well, here's what X, here's what this. It's why I know, again, I'm going to be like Mr. Unpopular today on your show, but like it was hard for me to watch Zdeno Chara get nothing when it came to
that. That was ridiculous.
But he gets nothing, and I just watched a playoff series last year where, again, a repeat offender, Nazem Kadri, who's also extremely dirty. Like, Nazem Kadri deserved everything that came to him. But it's really tough to see Kadri basically do the exact same thing to somebody and get suspended for the entirety of the playoffs, and let's watch a seven-footer on his skates as Zdeno Chara bury the lumber in someone's throat, where absolutely, like, we're talking about things as a weapon, things about conscious thought, and like when you actually had a second to do something. Uh-huh. It's hard for me to watch that and say, okay, well, you suspended Nazem Kadri for an entire playoff series, but Zdeno Chara got fined $5,000, which like Ryan Pinder can afford. That makes no sense. So, like,
true.
I think what we need to look at these things and be able to say, you know what we need? We need somebody smarter than George Parros to be running this stuff. Like, that's just pretty apparent at this point. Like, let's get somebody in here who can actually adjudicate these things properly, who can actually bring some level of consistency to the NHL suspension, who can actually make people and players feel like they're actually safe. Like, who was it on the Winnipeg Jets a little while back who was just, like, absolutely apoplectic about the way he was treated and the way that the league did not take care of him, and then he was going on, I think it was Perreault, right, where he was going on about, I'm going to swing my stick in somebody's face next time because I don't feel like the league protects me. It's a joke. They've done a terrible job. Nobody knows how long these suspensions should last. There's no consistency from one thing to another. People are outraged all the time. It sucks. We need better judges. We need people to look at things objectively and say, hey, this is what this should be. When we're talking about precedent, we should be able to connect these things from one thing to the other. And right now, we're all completely lost. Like, I've heard some people say to 12 games. I've heard people say 6 games. I've seen the repeat offender thing should be a huge thing here. I've heard people on my side of the ledger that are like, well, how can we connect these two things when they're completely different types of offenses? It sucks. We're all, you know what this is? This is the NFL's cat's rule from a year or two ago. It's just like everyone's watching the same thing happen, and then everybody has a completely different opinion on it. And I'm just tired of it. Peros has to go.
Who has done a good job in that post? This is the problem.
Honestly, no one.
It might be the most difficult job ever because you inherit precedent, and if you try to make new precedent, there's an appeal process that says, hey, this doesn't fit how it's been done before. I mean, this is the hardest job in pro hockey, I would suggest.
But I don't have sympathy for that. Like, first of all, I think that they shouldn't do a thing where they put it all on one person's shoulders and they always make it like a known player. Like, I think it's been Shanahan, Pronger, and Peros, right? Like, who am I missing on that list?
There's some few non-former players, but you're right. Those are the names we know. Coley Campbell ran it for a long time, right?
Right. I actually just think that instead of putting, like, one person's face to this entire thing where it seems like, to me, it always feels like George Peros is, they were like, oh, man, he's the Ivy League guy who also fought and was an enforcer but also had concussions. He's the perfect guy. And I don't see it that way. I really believe that it should be more of a committee decision, that they shouldn't have basically one face of this that just people hate on. Like, I don't get the process in general. I just think it's poorly handled stuff. They could do such a better job by making some minor tweaks to this thing where they bring these guys in hearing, they consult current players, that they basically have a group of different people so that it's not just one face that takes all the brunt of this or seems to be making all the decisions. I don't get it. Like, you're right, it's a hard job, but I don't really have sympathy because the guys who accept it know the drill and the league is putting them in these positions. So figure it out.
Yeah, no, it's, by the way, Matthew Perreault is the player you're referencing. He had this quote to say, player safety my ass. This is literally an elbow to the face of a guy who didn't have the puck. I see him coming. I brace for a hit. It was a late hit. I never had the puck. He flicks his elbow into my face and they're not going to do anything about it.
Right.
And on he goes. That was Matthew Perreault on Jake Virtanen. And then, like, I'm with you 100%. Chara, if that's Zach Cassian or if that's Matthew Tkachuk with the exact same cross check and it's on a star player, like, are we talking 15? Are we talking 10? Like, there's just, that's an egregious miscarriage of justice. The problem is that if you're trying to defend Cassian, it has nothing to do with mistakes made by the department before. You're trying to not make mistakes, right? You don't want to say, oh, look, there's a mistake, so make another mistake with him. No, no, no. Mistakes have happened. Let's not make more of them. Let's try to not make mistakes. It's insane, though, to watch that cross-check, which, you know, in a an inch or two off, that might demand, like, an emergency tracheotomy, and there's $5,000, which is nothing. It's a parking ticket to these guys.
I just think that, one, Gallagher is actually a star. Like, if you're in his division and you're someone on the other team, Gallagher is basically the number one guy on the Habs who you do not want to face. He is a pest with skill. Two is that if we're talking about, like, repeat offenders, fairly or unfairly, Chara legitimately almost killed somebody in a hockey game against the exact same team. So when we look at guys and say, oh, well, you did X and you did Y, Chara also did something. This is what I'm saying, is that Chara's not exactly the cleanest player in the NHL. I know he's a good guy. I know he does a lot for charity. I know that playing at that size sometimes it looks worse. Like, it's just, you know, it's tough to be able to hit guys in the same area, right? It's like an NFL play where someone goes low and you're staying high, and what are you supposed to do, right? You're hitting the quarterback, and there's all these different mitigating factors that go into it. But it's not exactly like Chara's some peach. He's not a Sedin, right? Like, he wasn't out there like, oh, wow, this was obviously a really, really bad mistake. I've seen Chara do nasty things in the league, and he got hit with 5K. And this isn't about, like, okay, well, if he did that, then we shouldn't be able to give somebody else something. But if we're just saying, again, for consistency, that what we're doing when it comes to Cassian is making sure that we set a precedent that someone does not use a weapon in order to damage the other person, another player's health, then why are we saying that a guy who, again, is 7 feet tall, who used a weapon in his stick to crack someone over the throat in a way that, you're right, could have resulted in a tracheotomy, could have collapsed someone's throat, their vocal cords, taken away their ability to swallow for a month. I think we need a 30 for 30 on how Gallagher stood up during that. Like, I don't understand even how that's a thing that a human body can do. If Chara cross-checks me in the throat, I'm pretty sure I die. I don't really understand how I'd be alive. I'm just saying that when we're talking about the value of precedence, or we're talking about the value of making sure that players are protected, that's what this is all supposed to be for. And I don't think that slapping Cassian with a 12-game suspension improves player safety when you can do something a day before that's just as bad and it gets 5K. And I'm saying that the bigger problem here when it comes to player safety and guys making sure that they're respecting one another is that they feel like there's a legislative body that is on top of them that will actually do what is right, what is fair, and in the best interest of the league and also the best interest of the players. And when it comes to the Cassian thing, to me it feels like more of a let's get a pound of flesh rather than let's make sure the league is a safer place.
Let's switch gears, shall we? Raptors winning streak came to an end at 15 in Brooklyn, of all places. Did you see that one coming or no?
Unfortunately, I did see it coming. They barely squeaked one out against the Nets in the first game. And I just think that when you get that close to the finish line of an All-Star break where you're about to have a week off and you've been carrying the weight of this streak for what was just about a month, that guys were sort of tired. And that when you fall down 10, 12, 14, and you've come back from these big comebacks a bunch of different times, and you know that you're basically a couple of hours away from being in Cabo and kicking your feet up, I think it's harder to dial in and lock in. They're a shorthanded team. They didn't look fully healthy. There's been rumors about guys dealing with the flu, like Serge Ibaka missed a game with the disease. So it sucks to see it. It would have been an awesome story to have the Raptors at 16 games over the break for an entire week of storylines. But I think it's kind of just one of those games that you burn the tape and you say, this isn't really representative of anything. We're not taking any takeaways from this. We just know that our group was tired. Our group was sick. Our group was banged up. We were riding a 15-game streak, and a team that was really, really hungry and had a couple of good matchups against us and had a couple of players get hot, a couple of good calls, beat us by a small margin.
Last one for you on the Raptors front. Are they going to be able to hold off Boston and Philly for that seemingly important 2-seed versus a 3 or a 4?
Well, I think Philly's out of it. It's so brutal on the road. I don't see a way catch fire and are able to catch the Raptors and Celtics. I think it's a two-horse race between Toronto and Boston for who gets that final spot. And it's really interesting because both teams have really difficult schedules down the stretch. I think the Raptors have the 10th most difficult schedule for the rest of the way, and I think the Celtics have the 8th. And so basically it's going to come down to which of these two teams can eke out a few more wins against high-level competition. I would say that unfortunately I side with the Celtics a little bit here. They have more premier top end scoring talent. Like, they beat the Clippers last night where Jason Tatum was going off for nearly 40 points in two overtime periods against Kawhi Leonard. But the Raptors are deep, and basically the one thing that they've taught every one of their fans over the course of the season is, please don't underestimate us, because every time you do, you kind of look like an ass. And so I'm going to say that I'll give the slight edge to the Celtics, but I'm definitely not going all in on this because I don't want to eat all the crow from Raptors fans, which they've been doling out in healthy, healthy portions to just about everybody who thought that they weren't going to be where they are today during the offseason.
Last question for you. Are you more outraged at Outrage Society or the Department of Player Safety?
Outrage Society. Absolutely.
Okay, good answer.
Turning me
Thanks,
into
buddy.
A jerk. Turning me into a jerk. I'm sorry.
Never boring, I'll give you that. We'll talk in a few weeks. Good catching up. Enjoy the weekend.
Always, buddy. Have a great long weekend to you and everybody in Calgary.